So let's make sure, we talked about the web, right? So the web is this distributed logical network of information that exists as a network because there are these hyperlinks that link information together, but it's the logical network that links the pages together has nothing to do with the has nothing to do with the physical internet, so with the topology of the physical internet, right? So you got web pages like that. This one's Harvard from a few years ago, and you know, every place there's a hot link, there is embedded in the HTML code. And if you take a web page and you do the view source thing like we did, you can see. Why don't we just do it? Actually, just make sure that you know that. Just know how that works. So let's just go to the Harvard homepage. Okay, and if we do, in there are these various hot links over here, right? It's these things, you click on them, it'll take you places. So you can do, if you could go a view source, okay, and you get all of this gibberish, which is which is HTML code, but embedded in it, for example, here's the URL of the Harvard Gazette, which corresponds to wherever down here at the bottom or somewhere is the mention of the Harvard Gazette. So there's the quote, here's the Harvard University Gazette text, which appears on this page somewhere, and then here's the URL of where you would go to if you click on it. And this HTML code is just a little computer program that generates these nice pictures. The web browser interprets that HTML code to produce these pretty pictures and then directs where to go when you click on a link. So these are the URLs that are embedded in there. And so there's this, kind of logical graph of web pages pointing to other web pages. So this is we've got the Harvard.edu web page, and it's got links to the president's web page, the Kennedy School web page, the news web page, and so on. This figure is a couple of years old. They've actually cleaned up the web page, the Harvard web page, so it's actually been simplified a lot now. And of course, these web pages will have links to other web pages, and you get this directed graph structure that is the World Wide Web. And so this is an interconnected graph, logically, that kind of exists in cyberspace as opposed to the links, the physical links between machines and the internet, which exists in reality. Okay, here are some pictures that didn't come out very well on a black background, but never mind. Over there on the left, you've got your computer, and you're requesting a web page. And if you try to load the Harvard.edu web page, you're essentially sending a message to Harvard's web server, telling it what page you want. And then Harvard, sorry about the poor, this just says URL up there. Harvard sends the HTML code back, that text that I just showed you, and maybe some JPEGs that go with it so it can produce the graphics, and your computer renders it on the screen. All right? So the internet mediates the translation of the name of the site you requested to the computer that you ask it from, right? So that's the translation of URLs to IP addresses. We went through that, very quickly last time. But there's the first fundamental thing everybody's got to recognize, and it's hard to remember sometimes, is that, first of all, this goes through lots of intermediate machines. The individual packets in both your request and the code you get back wander all over the internet before they get to Harvard's machine. But the other thing, important thing is that the server that sends the web page back sends it back to somewhere. So we always have these metaphors that we use when talking about the web, that you're visiting a web page, you're viewing a web page. Viewing in particular is a particularly misleading metaphor, right? You view a web page as though you were viewing the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon would be indifferent to whether you were there or not, looking out over the beautiful Grand Canyon, and you get back in your car and you left it exactly as it was when you leave. But that's not the way the web works, right? The way the web works is you send a very specific request that says, please send the HTML code for www.harvard.edu to this IP address, because no other way for that page to get back to you. And the page gets sent back to you, and that's the basis for how one of the ways in which search engines and websites of other commercial entities keep track of where their requests are coming from. They can also install cookies. Anybody know what cookies are? We should have a cookie exercise on the... So cookies are little pieces of code that, with your tacit permission, you can turn cookies off if you want, but everybody tends to leave them on because it makes life much easier, are left on your computer so that when you go back multiple times to maybe from different IP addresses to the same website, the site remembers little bits about you and can greet you by name, or remembers your purchase history and so on. So between those two things, IP addresses and cookies, the servers that are serving web pages have the potential to remember a lot. So this was a wonderful event that happened a few years ago. America Online, in an attempt to release for analysis by the computer science community some information about what kinds of stuff people were searching for, gave out a lot of information. If you read this one, it's really quite hilarious to read. And the data's still out. The data's still accessible somewhere, right? AOL pulled it back. And Tyler, isn't it still around somewhere? I think it's
It's accessible only... AOL doesn't have it published anymore, but because it was put on the internet,
yeah,
people have copies, and it's publicly available. But no credible researcher would ever use it, because it would never get published in a journal.
Yeah, okay, fine. Anyway, so among the searches from this one user, number 17556639, were all of these queries about how to kill your wife, wife killer, how to kill a wife, poop, dead people, pictures of dead people, killed people, dead pictures, dead pictures, dead pictures, and, raise the interesting question, there's trying to find steak and cheese, yes, and in between killing your wife, you try to find a submarine. www.murderedpeople.com, decapitated photos, you can't spell either. But this kind of raised the interesting question is, these search engine companies know a huge amount about you, or at least they have the potential to. Should they call the police at this point? Right? So anyway, this example turns out this guy was not, in fact, a wife murderer. He was some kind of guy who was actually, this was a little bit of a sting on his part. He was trying to actually see if anybody was watching, which they weren't until this data happened to be released by AOL for research purposes.